51. A good sermon will make you think.
Amen.
And I want you to think this morning. You know, if you wanted to shout it out, you should have been here Wednesday.
Amen.
We had a great service Wednesday. God just showed up in a mighty way. Amen. I told Brother Taylor I wanted to preach that again this morning. The Lord said no. Psalms 51, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
I want you to notice, and I don't do this a whole lot when I'm preaching, but I want you to notice the heading of this psalm.
Amen.
To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. This was after David's greatest sin. Okay? And David is writing this. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto thy multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Do you hear that right there?
Yes, sir.
Down deep. And in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, you'd help us there, God, as we expound on your word, God. God, move us out of the way. It ain't about us. God, I pray, God, everybody see Jesus today, not me. Lord, because I'm just like everybody else in this building, God. I'm begging and I'm praying and I'm asking you to do the same thing that David did. And God, you help us right now, God, to get honest. Help us to be honest down deep in the inward parts, God. Because, God, you see everything anyhow. And we'll praise you and we'll honor you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. What does this psalm teach us as we look at this? This is after Nathan the prophet comes to David. We know the story in 2 Samuel chapter 11. David, he didn't go out to war when he's supposed to go out to war. And that's a whole nother sermon there on being lazy and not doing what you're supposed to do. David is wandering around the courthouse. He's wandering around the palace. He looks out from the top of the palace and he sees this young woman over there bathing, and she's bathing in full sight of the palace. I'm not going to get into all that, but David calls her, Kevin, unto his palace. He takes her. He lays with her. He sends her back home. Her husband is one of David's mighty men. He is out fighting the battle. He is out defending the kingdom. He is out defending his king. And she sends word that says she's pregnant. David calls for her husband to come back, so her husband will try to lay with her so he can kind of put all this under the rug. And her husband, even he's got more integrity than the king. He will not do it. David tries multiple times to get him to do that, and he will not do it. And so David finally comes up with a scheme. David writes a letter to the leader of the army. He said, put Uriah in the very heat of the battle. And so he did that, and Uriah is killed. So David not only commits adultery, David commits murder. Now, I don't know about y'all. I've done some stupid stuff in my life. But I ain't never done nothing that stupid. And we realize David is writing this psalm after all this happened. So why did David write this psalm? Understand some, let's kind of put it in context. David had already been forgiven. In Psalms chapter 32, the Bible says this in verse 1 through 5. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day. For day and night my hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Mine iniquities have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. David had already been forgiven of this sin. And when David writes Psalm 51, he's writing it not for forgiveness. You ever done something, and when you got caught, you felt like a dog? You ever done something, you come to church, and then the preacher opens up the Word of God, and Holy Spirit starts dealing with you, and you sitting there feeling like a dog, saying, I knew I shouldn't have done it. And you say something to the effect of, Lord, if you'll just shed him up, I'll go to the altar. And when you do that, Preacher Trevor, and you come down to an altar, and we know what the Bible says, 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know what the Bible says. But you come down, Skip, and you shed all the tears down there, and when you get up, you know what the Bible says. You know you're forgiven. There's not a doubt in your mind that you're forgiven, and you sit back down, and you still feel like dirt. I don't know about y'all, but I go through that a lot. That's where King David's at when he's writing this psalm. He knows he's been forgiven. So what is David asking for? David is asking God to forget his crime or forget his sin. David is asking God to sanctify his soul. David is asking God for a new or a right relationship, to restore that relationship that has been taken away by David. It wasn't God's fault that David didn't have that relationship, David. It was David's fault that David didn't have that relationship. Anytime you and I don't feel the presence of God, it ain't God's fault. It's something stupid we did. So David is asking God, number one, to blot out his sin. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto thy multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Verse 9, hide thy face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities. That word blot there comes from the Hebrew word makal. It means to stroke out, a rub, or to erase. David knew the Word of God. David knew what the Bible said. David had studied the Word of God. Numbers chapter 5, verse 23 says this, and the priest shall write these curses in a book and shall blot them out with bitter water. Is it even possible to do this? Is it even possible for us to get our sins blotted out? Yes, it is. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgression. Somebody ought to shout right there, amen. Somebody ought to get happy that God can blot out your transgressions, amen. And we'll remember not thy sins. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. God can blot out our transgressions. God can wipe away our sins. Glory to God. And he's asking us, he wants us to return to him. So David is saying, Lord, I need you to just forget what I did. The problem is, if we get down honest with this, Jackie, God had probably already forgotten him, but David hadn't. And see, that's where the problem lies sometimes. God can and God will blot out your sins. And it's all because of one reason. Jesus. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Amen. David wanted God to do away with his sin and to forget about them. How about you? How about you? What are you dealing with this morning? What are we dealing with this morning as we come to God's house, you know? I mean, we come to God's house, and I say this a lot, you know, we get all dressed up. We get up in the mornings, and we put our good clothes on, and we come to God's house, and everybody looks good. But if we'll be honest, everybody ain't good. Amen? So where everybody's dealing with something this morning, amen? And what do you need God to blot out this morning? David was asking God to blot out adultery. David was asking God to blot out murder. And I just don't know if God can take care of my sins. Don't make me slap you. I talk to people all the time, Skip, you just don't know what I've done, preacher. You know what I always tell them, Brother Donald Boone? Well, let me ask you a question. Have you burned any churches down lately? Well, no. Have you killed any Christians lately? Well, no. Well, Saul did, and God took him, changed his name to Paul, and he wrote most of the New Testament. Don't tell me that God can't blot out your transgression. I don't care how bad you were. I don't care how far you think you've gone down the road, glory to God. My God, according to the cross, according to what Jesus did, can and will blot out your transgressions. David's asking God to blot out his transgressions, forget his sin. David's asking God to wash him. That's a desire for purity. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. That word wash right there comes from the Hebrew word to trample or to wash by the stamping of the feet. It is basically talking about a garment that needs to be cleaned. It's not talking, it's a different, when you start talking about washing the body, it's a different word. It's talking about a garment that needs to be clean, amen? And when you break this thing down, he says, wash me thoroughly. Yeah. Thoroughly there, it means to increase or in abundance. David is saying, Lord, I don't just need one washing. I need multiple washings, amen? David said, Lord, I know I messed up this time, and Lord, I'll probably mess up again. So I want you to wash me now, and next week you're going to probably have to wash me again. And then next week you're going to probably have to wash me again. How many of you's got a favorite shirt that you like to wear?
Yeah.
My wife makes me throw away stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
I got a shirt, I've had it for probably 10 years. When it gets dirty, you know what I do? I don't throw it away. I wash it.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that God didn't throw you away?
Amen.
Amen. David is saying, Lord, I know I messed up, Lord. I know I'm out, but I want you to wash me, and I want you to make me whiter than snow. God, only you can do that. If you go back and study it, it's talking, it kind of gets into the aspect of a fuller, of somebody that's making the cloth, and understands that God made the cloth, glory to God. God can clean the cloth, glory to God. Amen. God's the only one that can do that. David is asking for a right relationship. John Newton wrote this. I am not what I might be. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I wish to be. I am not what I hope to be. But I thank God I am not what I once was. And I can say with the great apostle, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm telling you right now, I sometimes think God's got a big washing machine with my name on it. And every once in a while, Jamie, he has to keep ducking me in there. Because I'm just be honest with you, folks. Sometimes I get dirty. Sometimes I get nasty. And I'm telling you right now, that detergent called the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. That's the only thing. David is saying, Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse me. Cleanse me, Lord. Not only blot out. See, it's one thing, Ronnie, to be forgiven. God could have told David, and God had every right to tell David, all right, I'm going to forgive you, but I'm going to kill you. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to forgive you of this, but you'll never be king again. I'm going to forgive you of this. Aren't you glad that there ain't a but there when Jesus said, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But, no, that ain't in there. If it's in your Bible, you got the wrong Bible, amen. David said, Lord, purge me. Wash me. David is asking God for a cleansing. And this cleansing would put him back in a right relationship with him. That's what David's, that's what we're getting down to. In verse 2, he said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquities, cleanse me from my sin. We've got to remember, David was already forgiven. This is talking about a ceremonial cleansing. Now, if you go back to Leviticus chapter 13, the Bible talks about the leper. How that if you go back and study it out, the Bible talks about when somebody would have a white spot or somebody would, they would have to go before the priest, Greg, and the priest would have to deem them that you're unclean. But and if it went away, you still got to go back to that priest. If it's gone away and you're clean and there's nothing wrong with you, you still got to go back to that priest. That priest is the one that's got to look at you and examine you. And that priest is the one that's got to say, hey, you all right now. You can get back into society. There ain't nothing else on you now. You can get back into society. David is saying, Lord, I just want to get back in your society. I just want to get back to where you want me to be. This is talking about a ceremonial cleansing. Psalms 51, verse 7 and 8. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be made. I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. David is saying, Lord, not only do I want you to blot out my sin, not only do I want you to put me back where I am, I want you to put me back in a right relationship with you. I want a right relationship with God. I want to be right with God. I thank God that I can be right with Robert. But every once in a while, I do some stupid stuff. I know y'all don't do that. I know y'all holy and woo-hoo. But I'm just being honest this morning. There have been times that I got in this pulpit and preached the Word of God. Not that I had sin in my life or anything like that, but I just didn't feel that relationship with God. There have been times you come to church and felt the same way. Right. There have been times you come to church and felt the same way. You and you and you. All of us. Every last one of us. Did you notice how that psalm read? David said that the bones which thou hast broken. David talked about how the moisture had gone out of his bones. And that's just a pain of knowing that you hurt. The pain of knowing that Jesus Christ loved you enough, that Jesus Christ loved you enough to go to that cross to bear all your sins and wipe the slate clean. And you asked him to be your Savior. And you said you'd live for him. And you said you'd die for him. And you said you'd be there for him. And you'd never fail him and never forsake him. And just like Peter, you did. And just like every one of those disciples, you did. And now, there's an emptiness. You say, Lord, I just want a right relationship. Let me ask you a question. Do you need forgiveness this morning? If you do, there's a Savior that loves you. Do you have a desire for a right relationship with God? Do you have a desire to be pure with God? Then there's a God that loves you. Do you want that relationship that you used to have with God? Listen now. Do you want that relationship that you used to have with God? You know what it means to come to church and feel that presence. You know what it means to ride down the road and hear a song and a tear just start trickling down your cheek. You know what it means to just when nobody else is around and it feels like somebody just moves in beside you and says, I'm here with you. Don't you worry about it. Me and we got this. I'm on your side. I got your back. You know what it feels like, but you don't feel that no more. but you don't feel that no more. It ain't God's fault. It ain't God's fault. I'm going to ask Preacher Jacob to come back up. I called him yesterday in his old song, "Let me feel your presence, your spirit once again." I want you to bow your head.